Silverstone. From its beginning as a Royal Air Force airstrip to the site of the Mutton Grand Prix, and then subsequent inclusion in the inaugural Formula One Grand Prix Championship of 1950, Silverstone represents the British Empire. Like the famous British F1 heroes of past, such as Sir Stirling Moss and Nigel Mansell. Here in the present, there are constructors whose home bases are near this former air base and fly the Union Jack as their colors, representing Her Majesty and the United Kingdom or the Commonwealth in the Grand Prix. If the infamous English weather allows, F1 pilots fly around this windy high-speed circuit in the heart of England, with the car set for low downforce, racing for a win, and their chance to rule the Formula One empire. The Pirelli tires, much like the weather here, are an unknown factor. And will the car setup from Saturday work well on race day? Alonso, the eagle from Spain in his red steed, is trying to bring some heat to the Northamptonshire countryside, but is flanked by a Red Bull and an old dog who want to dampen his spirits. Will we be hearing God Save the Queen at the end of this ninth race, or will they be playing a different tune? Hang on to your fish and chips or your rods and tackle and stay tuned. This is Desiree, and this is your F1 Weekly British Grand Prix Racecast. Cheers, listeners.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 588, July 13th. 2012. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Renault Alternateur. Get one. You know you want to.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Mark Webber disappoints Fernando Alonso. Why did McLaren fail so badly at Silverstone? And what's Maldonado's issue? And of course, we've got an outstanding Motorsports Mondial from the King of Karachi himself. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Enjoying the Arizona-like weather we're having in Cali.
It's nice, but it's a dry heat, Nasser.
Exactly.
Anyway, let's talk about something not so dry, which is qualifying at the British Grand Prix.
Now, that was buckets of water.
It was buckets of water. And I have to admit that, once again, the fans... And, you know, I respect their outstanding passion for motorsports, but boy, the traffic jams, the mud, it's amazing what they put up with. And this seems to happen every year, and I can't believe they can't find a solution to the entrance of this track.
Well, there are two reasons. One of them, the location is kind of like Sears Point. There are not many roads, so you have basically have a limited access roads where you can go to. And the other is they have a lot of oil in North Sea, but apparently not as many oil wells in UK as in Kazakhstan and Abu Dhabi and, you know, all these new places that are bringing in Formula One. But, you know, today I was thinking, you know, this kind of stuff cannot go on too long. And I read a news item that Bernie is saying London Grand Prix will happen. So it will be sad to lose Silverstone. And I don't think we're even close to it, but... This needs to be resolved sooner or later.
I agree. The fans certainly deserve better. Even if with the funds that Bernie could come up with, there's got to be a way around this problematic situation with the traffic. The weather is always going to be there. That you can't change. But certainly some roads, some parking facilities, the fans deserve something better.
See, this is where I have a problem with the way they run Formula One as a business only. They make so much money. Tracks get hardly anything. The series itself should invest in some infrastructure. I'm not saying they have golden ponds at every track, but they should get this thing resolved. You know, some improvements at tracks like Sao Paulo, Monza. You know, invest in your own industry. They should do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And because motorsports is such a vital part of the UK, it's the government, especially all the money they're spending on the Olympics.
Well, they've already spent a lot of money in building that, whatever they have right now. But what really screwed up is all these campers that got stuck in the mud, and they had mud in the tires, you know.
Yeah.
So it just created a problem.
Well, I'm just throwing a caution in the wind here.
Well, you know, they had a similar problem with the Turkish Grand Prix first few years. The traffic was like a complete, Berezina disaster. So they need to think of the fan, the average man, so most of the people can come in so we don't have these issues.
Yeah.
Not everybody can fly in from Kensington by helicopter.
That's true. That's true. Keep up the good work, Nas. Let's quickly talk about qualifying. The track, when Q1 started, the track was a little bit dry, and some people had the banging. You get your lap in the bank, and there were some issues with that. But in the end, it was a little exciting until the red flag came, and I did not like the red flag. I thought it was unnecessary. I think if it's unsafe, the team can put their car in the garage.
Well, if you remember what happened to Didier Pironi, so safety is important in this day and age.
I agree. Safety is important, but still, I thought the red flag, and it was almost for an hour that it was delayed, it loses its excitement, but in the end, we did have an exciting finish in the qualifying. It was machismo.
Oh, but yeah.
But still, there was a lot of spinning around. Of course, we had the red flag in Q2 at 6 minutes and 19 seconds left. The rain was coming down steady, and of course the drivers, which Charlie Whiting listens to, everybody said, oh, it's so scary, and it was too much to drive. But in the old days, they didn't do much of that. I guess everybody's sort of safety conscious now.
Well, times have changed,
They certainly have changed. But anyway, after about a little under an hour, Q3 began. I do want to mention who was out in Q2 was Paul DiResta, Kamui Kobayashi, Nico Rosberg, surprisingly enough, Bruno Senna, Jean-Éric Vergne, and Sergio Perez. Both Saubers were out, and I was surprised that Paul DiResta was out as well. Nico Hülkenberg making it into Q3. They do disable DRS when it's raining. Everybody figured that one out. And that's a good safety precaution, I think. I like that. But in the end, it was an exciting qualifying with Fernando Alonso taking pole. And we were really disappointed once again with McLaren, who seemed to be so strong somewhat in practice with Jenson Button and Lewis Hamilton going to the top of the charts. But in the end, McLaren really is languishing, and Red Bull and Ferrari with Fernando are moving up to the top. And Felipe Massa is doing a good job now.
Yeah, it was very impressive. And I just don't know what the issue with Jenson Button is. I sure would like to know. And it's interesting, how competitive this package was at the start of the season. Now it looks like they're losing steam. And as far as safety is concerned, I have one suggestion for Bernie and Charlie Whiting to make racing safe. In the final three laps, on the lap before the final three laps, black flag, Maldonado.
Wow. But Maldonado gets excited way before the last lap.
He needs to cool down because, if you're not at fault, but somehow you're always one of the cars, one of the two cars, then I won't be surprised if they sit him down for a race or two, and that'll be very bad.
Especially in the driver's briefing, I'm sure his antics have come up in the drivers' meetings, which are held early in the morning on Friday. I'm not sure. But, yes, Sergio Perez has a little encounter with him. We'll talk about that. I believe that happens on lap 12. But a very nice pole for Fernando. I think it's the first pole since 2010. Perhaps Singapore, if I remember.
Yeah.
So, very exciting for Ferrari. And Felipe Massa doing a really good job. He's really picked up the mojo.
He has, finally. And with Weber not coming to Ferrari, he has, another, like, 2 weeks of breathing normally before some other name is dropped who's coming to Ferrari.
Yes, and we'll talk about that after we talk about this race. Let's quickly go ahead and go to the race. Good weather, and I'm happy for the fans. They certainly deserved it. It's a sunny day. And quickly, I want to mention it's Fernando Alonso on pole, Mark Webber, Michael Schumacher, P3, Sebastian Vettel, Felipe Massa in fifth, Kimi Raikkonen, Pastor Maldonado, your favorite, Lewis Hamilton in eighth, Romain Grosjean, and Paul DiResta is the top 10. I think Jenson Button is P14, if I recall. Not sure what's going on in his head. But let's go ahead and talk about the start. Great start for Fernando Alonso. Cuts right in front of his buddy, Mark Webber, which was an interesting move. I don't see Fernando Alonso doing that so abruptly very often. But it was good. Great start. Great start for Romain Grosjean. A fantastic start for Jenson Button. He was up the P12 in a few corners. Terrible start for Paul DiResta. Got a puncture. In the replays, we saw that the front wing of Kimi Raikkonen just touches the tire. But it damaged his floor so bad he could not go back into the race. That was very, very, very sad.
Yeah, it was disappointing because I wanted to see him do well on his Grand Prix.
Of course. I mean, Paul DiResta, Jenson Button, and Lewis Hamilton were the Brits that were supposed to rise up to the top and impress the fans. And that certainly did not happen in this race. I felt really bad for McLaren. And like I said, I think they seem to be not stagnant, but everybody else is moving up in development. And they're just not getting anywhere. And I hate to say this, but I think a lot of this falls on the shoulder of their leadership.
Well, I have to say that Ferrari has a lot of big fan base in England, and British racing fans, as passionate as they are, I'm sure they have a lot of respect for Nando. So I have a very strong feeling that quite a few of them were happy that Machismo was leading.
Yeah, and it's a great show.
And kudos to Dr. Mark, one of the fans and one of members of the F1 Weekly Familia. He was there, I believe, both days, right?
Correct. And yeah, he had some pictures on the forum. Great stuff. And he talked about some of his fights with the mud. And took some pictures of, I believe, some hot dogs being sold at the school nearby Silverstone.
That was very good.
Yes, it was outstanding. And there were some fine examples and some good sauces, condiments for those hot dogs, Nasser. But anyway, let's go to lap three. Felipe Massa is all over the back of Michael Schumacher. Sebastian Vettel is all over Felipe Massa. Sergio Perez, an outstanding start, is up six places by lap three. There's some machismo there that Ferrari might want to look at.
This guy has really, really surprised me. You very rarely get to see a driver who really was not expected to do much, but just keeps on delivering.
He does keep on ticking. Unfortunately, he does have an incident in this particular race. Lap four, fast lap of the race, Felipe Massa with a 1.397, and then Romain Grosjean beats that with a 1.392. Let's go to lap 9. Felipe Massa still stuck behind Michael Schumacher. And Michael Schumacher is holding up a train and letting Mark Webber and Fernando Alonso get away, which Red Bull absolutely adores. The team tells Mark Webber, Michael Schumacher is holding up the field. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, I enjoyed that dice. It was nice to see Massa and Schumacher used to be teammates.
Exactly.
That was a good fight.
It was a good fight. I enjoyed it as well. Sebastian Vettel pits on lap 10, which I thought was pretty early. Romain Grosjean puts in the fast lap of the race. On lap 12, Michael Schumacher pits. Fast lap is by Sebastian Vettel. And Pastor Maldonado, He had pitted on lap 11. He's coming out of the pits. And Sergio Perez is right there. They fight for position. And in the next two corners, there is a touching of the Titans. Arcs explode.
These are the Titans now?
It was exciting because, first of all, Sergio Perez has a number of encounters with our friend, including Monaco. You know, I would think if you see Pastor Maldonado, when I'm driving here on the California freeways and I see freakish behavior, I prefer these people, in front of me and away from me. And those kind of people usually crash somewhere else. But I thought Sergio Perez should have stayed out of his way, but didn't, because he's so feisty and Latino and machismo. And sure enough, they crashed. Pastor Maldonado once again continues in the race. Sergio is out and extremely angry.
Yeah, as he should be. And, regardless of their talent or success, there are some people they're not going to give you any room, no matter what happens. Even if you're lapping them for the 10th time, they're not going to give you any room. Pastor, Hamilton is not going to give you any room. Mark Webber has been pretty notorious on making his car wide. Schumacher is another guy. 10-time world champion, 20-time. He's not going to give you any room. So if you're trying to make a daring move and something goes wrong, then you need to get some blame too. Just like with Pastor and Hamilton in the previous race.
Yeah. Let's hear from Sergio right now.
It's Pastor. It's a driver that doesn't respect the other drivers. And it's just a matter of fact. I was already in front. And if not, he should have given me enough space to not to crash. But he just tried to push me all the way to the outside. And I don't understand the way he's driving. I really hope the stewards can make something, because the last 3-4 races he has done something to someone. And it's not the first time he damaged my weekend. He did the same with Lewis in Valencia. And they just give him a drive-through, which I think is not enough. And this guy will never learn if they don't do something that really happens, because he's dangerous. He's a very dangerous driver, and it can hurt someone.
Lap 15. Fernando Alonso pits, goes with the hard compound, which I thought was a mistake, because Fernando Alonso started with the hard compound. First pit stop, he goes with the hard compound. We know that he has to for sure use the soft compound at least once.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he should have gotten it out of the way, but I am certainly not as sophisticated as Domenicali. So I said, okay, maybe I'm just thinking wrong, but nevertheless, I thought it was bizarre.
I actually thought that was a good move for Nando, because Nando is, he can manage tires much better than quite a few other people, especially people like Hamilton. So I thought this was a good move. Stretch it out as much as you can, and then in the end, you will have...
You're right. I thought if they did stretch it out as far as they can with the second stop, I think your philosophy is correct. But that did not happen. Sebastian Vettel passes Jenson Button, and Felipe Massa actually passes Jenson Button as well. Jenson Button is just languishing. It's almost like he's lost interest. I find it absolutely bizarre. On lap 20, it's Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Felipe Massa hanging up there, Michael Schumacher, Kimi Raikkonen, Romain Grosjean, Kamui Kobayashi, and Nico Hülkenberg. Lap 21, Lewis Hamilton pits, goes with the soft compounds, and he is out in P7. Lap 24, Sergio Perez is screaming at the media, as we just heard. And, he just went on and on and on. And now, of course, this is all over YouTube. Sergio is still a hero in Mexico. So I thought the burrito was fully loaded when he unloaded it. It was a lot of fun, though. Lap 25, it's Fernando Alonso, Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Felipe Massa, Kimi Raikkonen, Lewis Hamilton hanging in there and doing a good job, Michael Schumacher, Romain Grosjean, and Kamui Kobayashi. I was surprised that Raikkonen and Grosjean just couldn't get up the field, even though there was some good passing at the beginning of the race. Once again, Lotus, we keep thinking that they've got to get into this podium more often and win a race. And in this Grand Prix, I thought they let me down a little bit. I was disappointed with my all-in-all package. But at least the alternators were holding up this week.
Yeah, despite the hot weather.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Lap 31, Sebastian Vettel pits again. And that was pretty stunning. And I was really surprised on lap 29 when Lewis Hamilton pitted. He only went 8 laps on those soft tires. And I thought that was a good strategy. Get rid of them, finish the race on the hard compound. That, I thought, was superior strategy compared to what Ferrari was attempting. Lap 31, there was a little Romain Grosjean excitement when he was behind both McLarens and he decided to pass both McLarens. There was a good little machismo there, especially some dicing up with Lewis Hamilton. Good, clean driving, though. No Maldonado stuff there. And that's what's impressive. You see Maldonado, he's a disaster, but there's some good passing with professionalism in this race, including some of the good passing that happens at the end of the race. Lap 38, Kamui Kobayashi is all over the pit box. He completely jumps the pit box. I thought he thought he was in a bowling alley, but he hits like 4 or 5 people, including the guy with the front jack. He was explosive, but in the wrong part of the race.
Yes, it was not the finest moment in his career.
No, and he does get fined for that incident after the Grand Prix, which is great. No drive-through penalties. I like that kind of attitude from the FIA. I think those are the right decisions. Now, on lap 38, Fernando Alonso pits. He goes with the soft compounds. And I'm thinking, this is his last pit stop. He's going on the soft compound. They should have waited until at least lap 45. He was on the hard. This, and I don't know how to say mistake in Italian, but this was the big, big mistake.
You know how do you say mistake in Italian?
No.
Massa.
Keep up the good work, Nasser, but there you have it, and there you go. On lap 44, Mark Webber now is closing in on Fernando Alonso because Mark Webber is on the hard compound. And he knows that those soft tires are going to start greening. Even with Fernando's finesse, the Pirellis have a certain limit that even somebody of his stature can't control, Nasser. And in the end, Fernando's tires started to waver. And on lap 48, your Boudreaux, your Aussie friend, passes at machismo.
Mark Webber.
Yeah, and you know what? I noticed it was a very clean pass. Alonso gave him room, all professional, no Maldonado stuff. What's going on there?
Well, he's became a poster child now of things going wrong.
Oh, well, you know, he's the talk of the town. So, I enjoyed this race. Kimi Raikkonen puts in the fast lap of the race. He goes wide right at the end of the race. Felipe Massa gets by. Bruno Senna, a good race, incident-free, pretty much stayed 10th throughout the end of the race. He did finally, I thought, which was great, pass Nico Hülkenberg, who made a huge error at the end of the race and fell out of the points, which I'm sure Vijay was not happy about because he was the last guy. Obviously, Paul Derisa was out at the beginning of the race. Points were there to be had, but could have been tires, but I thought that was a huge mistake. And, of course, Kamui Kobayashi gets past Nico Hülkenberg as well. And both of those finish 9 and 10. In the end,
I also thought Hülkenberg was trying too hard to hang on to that position.
Exactly.
He was doing what Hamilton did in the previous race.
Correct.
You know it's not going to happen. Let it go, Louis.
Yeah. So, excuse me, but still a fun race to watch. I was hoping for a wet race, just like Michael Schumacher, because I think it would have been exciting. On the other hand, it could have been too many safety cars. It may have been red flagged, like qualifying. In the end, I think a dry race really was the best for everybody.
Yes, it is. And, you know, especially with the Pirelli tire lottery, as they call it, since you don't know who's going to win till the last 2-3 laps, then, you know, it's becoming sort of a like NASCAR thing without the competition yellow.
Correct. I'm calling Maldonado. he's our competition Kaushin.
He is.
You just never know what he's going to do or when. Because in the old days, you know, we used to depend on him on the last lap shenanigan. But now, we just don't know. It's a lottery with him.
Yeah. The Pastor lottery now.
Yeah. But still, Pastor, for his shenanigans, just gets a reprimand. And I'm sure Sergio Perez is still steaming about that. Now, I thought what was really interesting, and of course I think they did it for the fans, is the driver interview was done by Jackie Stewart on the podium. And I thought that was a pretty good thing to do.
That was very, very nice.
I thought that was classy.
Much better than sitting in a room and, you know, because,
you know, isolated.
Yeah, and, you know, it's good. I mean, I'm a fan, so, you know, I like when things are good for the fans. So I like that.
So, no, I thought that was outstanding. Jackie had great questions. And let's see.
Are you surprised?
Up. Well, I mean, next year it could be Nasser Hamid up there. You never know.
I would like to see Jackie say to Pastor what he once said to Senna.
Oh, I remember that interview.
That in your career, in half the time of my time, you have had twice the number of accidents. And that was to Senna. I wonder what Pastor will say.
Well, similar stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's hear from the drivers now.
Interesting race. I thought at the start, Fernando had very good pace. A little bit of bubbly for Jackie, but look, a bit of strategy in the end there. Obviously, Fernando started on a different tyre, but we never gave up. Kept pushing, and it didn't really work out for Fernando at the end, which you know, was very, very close for him. So we were there, capitalised, and a very special victory for the team just down the road, a local team, and all the guys. It's incredible for them. And also for Renault, again, another victory here in the UK. So I'm very proud today. So thanks to all the fans for sticking with us in the last few days. So it's been incredible.
It was quite close today, I think, the victory, but at the end, in the last stint, I think Mark was much quicker than us, and he deserved the win, so congratulate him, congratulate the Red Bull team. But, you know, I'm very proud also of Ferrari recovering the last couple of weeks, and now we are fighting for the victory in the last three or four Grand Prix, so we're in the right direction. And as Mark said, I think thanks to all the fans that we had not so good weather, I think, during the weekend, and they were cheering all the time for us. And I hope they enjoy the show today, and see you next year.
And the World Championship? What about the World Championship now? You're still leading.
Yeah, still there. It's the main target, obviously, for us. And today, I think we lost 7 points with Mark, but we gained some extra points with the rest of the field. So I think it was a good Sunday in terms of championship points for us.
Yeah, obviously, it was an interesting one. The start was not so good. I lost a little bit and lost the position to Felipe. Then I had a tough fight with him in the beginning. Nearly got past, but it was really, really close, which was fun, but I didn't get past. We then brought the right strategy to come back, which turned to be the right thing. But obviously later on, you always have a little bit of extra on your tires. But all in all, very happy. Mark obviously deserved to win today. Very happy for the results for the team. And thanks for all the fans out there. It was, I think, quite horrible the last 2 days, not just for us, but especially for them. So obviously today the sun came out and the British summer showed its best. So looking forward to come back next year.
Well, a big thanks to all the fans who went through all the trouble in the weekend leading up to it. But what a podium and what a finish. Well done, all three.
And there you have it, Nasser. Was this race as good for you as it was for me?
For me, every motor race is a good race. Obviously, some are more exciting than others. But any race where you don't know who's going to win before the race starts, you know, it adds some more spice and excitement.
I agree. And for to be honest with you, with the lead that Nando had for a while, which was up to 22 seconds ahead of Mark Webber before he took his last pit stop, I thought he had it in the bag until I realized he had to go with soft tires for his last pit stop. And he still had 14 laps to go. And that's when I knew that Mark Webber is going to get the win. And not only did he get the win, but the following day, he's re-signed for 2013. Now, I thought that was shocking.
No, not really. I mean, if you know, Luca Montezemolo has made it very clear that as long as he's at Ferrari, there will be team orders.
You know, correct.
And we all know how much Luca loves Nando. Okay? And whether you like him or not, Nando, I think, would be more of a match for Mark Webber, you know. And he would be in the same situation as with Vettel.
Correct.
You know, and he has seen they're not going to play favorites, regardless of what people say. At Ferrari, they will probably tell him, Alonso is faster than you. That's not happening at Red Bull, at least, not on the PA system.
No, and I think once again, and I think we've talked about this maybe a year or two ago, that once again, Mark Webber, if this is the year to win a championship, he better grab it, because these are few and far between now for him.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, if for him to win and almost win the championship with a teammate as talented as Sebastian Vettel, just tells me one thing, this guy is also very good. You know, might not be Alonso or whatever, and he's up there in age. So it'll be very good for him. It will be good for Australian motorsports. It will be good for Formula One to have another Australian world champion.
I agree. So, no, that would be exciting, but there you have it. He is signed now. The rumor was huge for him going to Ferrari. Of course, he's got a good relationship with Fernando Alonso. Of course, he knows that if he did go to Ferrari, he'd have a good paycheck, but the paycheck would say number two on it.
Yeah.
So I can understand why he went ahead and signed with Red Bull. And I was just surprised it happened so early in the season. And the problem with me is Felipe Massa has now found his mojo. Would Ferrari consider keeping him for one more season?
Well, you know, that's another reason I'm happy that Webber has stayed at Red Bull. Now, this Ferrari seat is a very, very hot seat.
It's a hot seat. I mean, it's steaming hot.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those seats where, you know, I would love to see a guy like Romain Grosjean get in that seat and see how he does against Nando, okay? Bring some unknown and see what happens. You know, it will be... could be Paul Di Resta, but I sure would like to see. I don't want to see a known quantity, you know. There are some pairings that will not happen, and we won't even get into that. But if they were to bring in like a Button, I want to see how good Button is against Nando.
They're not going to get a Button,
yeah,
for sure. But you know, the only alternative I see right now is a lot of people, and I think his management as well, is telling Lewis Hamilton to keep your options open. Because he hasn't signed for McLaren. Now, I know it would be ridiculous for him to go to Ferrari.
That will never happen, let me tell you that. Yeah, never.
Never.
As long as Nando is there, it will not happen.
Now, we did see, and I was surprised, Adrian Sutil was in the Mercedes paddock. What do you think that's all about?
Well, you know, there are all these reports that Paul Di Resta may go to Mercedes if Schumacher retires. And you know, with all due respect to Schumacher and all his achievement, he really now has become, in his second coming, in his third year, more like a novelty. It's like there is no comparison, but it's like a Danica Patrick situation. You know, a lot of press, a lot of this, a lot of hoopla, but you know, there's no meat on the bones, you know. So, you know, he should retire, or Mercedes should retire him. And I want to see a Paul Di Resta there, and maybe Nico Hülkenberg or some real young talent, and see what happens.
Yeah.
And no, you're talking about Sutil. There are even reports that Jaime Alguersuari is trying to raise some serious money and may go for Nico Hülkenberg's seat.
Wow. There's going to be some surprises at the end of the season.
Yeah, and as the whole world knows, Vijay Mallya's Kingfisher Airlines has gone from like 60 planes to like 16 planes. They got a huge, huge financial problem. So I won't be surprised if they take up a driver.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Okay, Nas, thanks a lot. We're going to take a quick break. I want everybody to stay tuned to Motorsports Mondial, and we'll be back after this brief message from Honest Engines.
Honesty is something we all look for, especially when it comes to auto service. Honest Engines Auto Service Tallahassee is where you'll find it. Since 2005, they've been delivering trusted, dependable service to Florida's capital. Honest Engines is your full-service auto repair center. Bumper to bumper, they have you covered. Honest Engines Auto Repair offers a variety of services. Transmission repair, oil change service, and much, much more. Don't let just anyone work on your car. Bring it to Honest Engines. They'll give your baby the care it deserves. They work closely with you to make sure you know what's being done. With Honest Engines, you don't have to guess what their team is doing. Their highly experienced and certified technicians know just what your car needs, and they'll make sure you do too. So if you're in the Tallahassee area and you need auto repairs, Give Honest Engines a call, 850-421-8461, and tell them F1Weekly.com sent you. Honest Engines Auto Repair, right on the corner, right on the price. 718 Gay Street, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
It's raining on my window, but I'm thinking of you.
Greetings and racing regards. Mr. Rogers, do you have tears on your pillow?
I do, and my handkerchief was soaked.
Really?
Yeah, it was brutal. You know me.
I'm going to arrange a box of Kleenex for you.
Thank you, sir.
But it was still a great performance from your man, especially in qualifying. And I believe this was his pole number 21, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you're right.
Something like that. So this guy, you know, as we were talking earlier, if this is how this guy is doing in this car, can you imagine how he would be performing if he had the Schumacher era Ferrari?
It would be completely dominance.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Okay, in Habidos, we have two in a row for our amigo Esteban Gutierrez. I'm very happy about that. In Indy cars, we have three in a row for Ryan Hunter-Reay, man from Florida. In MotoGP, Casey Stoner takes a fall. And in NASCAR, A.J. Allmendinger is off the wall, and we shall explain gladly. And you know who's on the other side of the wall, Jeremy Mayfield. So this is not a happy situation. And Captain is looking for Tennille. Do that to me one more time, and you are out of here. Okay, we shall start with GP2 from Silverstone. Second successive win for man from Monterrey, Mexico, Señor Esteban Gutierrez. The race actually belonged to Swiss driver Fabio Laimer, but his team screwed up on his pit stop strategy, and when he pitted under a Swiss caution, a sure shot victory evaporated. Gutierrez inherited lead and held on to record his second successive feature race win. He is now third in the championship. Very impressive. Two races ago, he was way down the list. Johnny Chicardo Jr., big winner in Monte Carlo, was second. And local chap Julian Palmer was third man on the podium. In the sprint race, which normally takes place on Sunday, this was very impressive by Luiz Razia from Brazil. He now leads the championship from Valsecchi, who was second. Cousin Felipe Nasr took the lead very briefly and was third at the finish. And Felipe, you know, for his first year in GP2, very competitive against a lot of seasoned drivers. He's doing very good. And Valsecchi, you know, he started the season on a very hot streak, winning a lot of races, and now looks like he's running out of steam. And I have a feeling that Luiz Razia may become the first Brazilian. I don't think we've ever had a Brazilian GP2 champion.
No.
So if he could mix it with Esteban Gutierrez and Valsecchi, that'll be very machismo. I'll really enjoy that fight. Hapitres, GP3, great weekend for Carlin Motorsports, as both races of the weekend were won by their drivers. Felix da Costa of Portugal won the opening race of the weekend. He is the latest blue-eyed boy of Dr. Marco. Mitch Evans, a Kiwi under the wings of Aussie mate Mark Webber, was second, and Finn Aro Wainio was third. Connor Daly from Indiana was fifth. Race 2, local chap comes through for a home win. Will Buller was the winner. Connor Daly was second, and Patrick Niederhauser was third. And in GP3, they do the same thing as they do in GP2. You have the feature race, and the top eight from the feature race, they do it a reverse grade. So if you're eighth in the first race, you have the pole in the sprint race. Do you like that?
I think it's okay. It adds excitement to the series, and it mixes it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And not only that, but being on pole is not an easy task. You have to have a good start. You have to have a good strategy. And that's good schooling.
Yeah.
So, no, I think it's good.
You know, in the old days of Formula 2, I think, I don't know about the 60s, but definitely in the 70s, after the first race, the whole grid would be reversed. So, but you know.
Yeah.
there would always be different variations.
And of course, Connor Daly will be doing some straight line testing for our friends at Force India again.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And this is, I believe, at the same place where Maria Di Vuota had her unfortunate accident. And good thing is, you know, she's getting better.
Apparently, they're calling it a remarkable recovery.
Yeah, very good. Mitch Evans from New Zealand is the championship leader, followed by Aro Vainio, who is a Nicola Tort client, and Felix Da Costa was third. Some Italian F3 news. We normally don't cover that, but this is interesting. They were racing at Misano Adriatico. Felipe Massa may not be performing well enough to keep Luca away from his big screen LG, but two of the young drivers are doing well in junior championships. We have spoken a few times about Rafael Marcello, who is doing very good in F3 Euro Series. The other is young man from York, Fantasyland, Francia, Mr. Brandon Misano. Past weekend, he won two of the three races and was third in the final race of the weekend. So the Italian F3 is like the British F3, three races per weekend. More races, the better for fans. Eddie Cheever Jr. was second in all three races. Riccardo Agostini, just like Giacomo Agostini, was the winner in race three. Now we go to Formula Renault NEC, like grandfather, like papa. From Oschersleben in what used to be East Germany, or DDR, which was for Deutsche Demokratische Republik, or something like that. The pride of Trabant. Exactly. Josh Hill wearing the colors of London Rowing Club on his helmet. You know these colors, right?
Yeah.
Michael Schumacher is very... He saw these colors very close to his cockpit in his Benetton a few times. So Josh Hill won the first two races of the weekend and was third in the final race, which was won by fellow Brit Jake Dennis, and we interviewed Jake Dennis a few weeks ago. Jake is also leading the championship. Josh, son of our Damon, is third in the standings, and he's saying that he's going to now mount a challenge to win the championship. A good thing is Formula Renault NEC does not race in the streets of Adelaide. So maybe he has a chance. MotoGP German Grand Prix from Sachsenring. Danny Pedrosa and Casey Stoner looked all set for a Honda 1-2 when, on the last lap, Stoner tried what he called a win-or-bin move and lost control of his bike. This was kind of like he was trying to be Pastor Maldonado of motorbikes.
It was exciting, though.
Yeah. This allowed Jorge Lorenzo into second place and Andrea Dovizioso was third. He was followed by the third Yamaha in top four of Ben Spies. Casey Stoner is retiring and Honda just announced they're going to take this guy, Marquez, to replace him. So interesting news there. Lorenzo leads the championship with 160 points. Pedrosa second on 146. And Stoner is third with 140 points. And now there are some reports coming that Stoner might go and race Australian V8 cars. So let's see what happens. For 2013, Cal Crutchlow may replace Kentucky Kid, which is Nicky Hayden, at Ducati. Hayden won the 2006 MotoGP Championship on a Honda, but things have not worked out since joining the Italian team based in Bologna. What's so funny?
I was thinking about the Connecticut Kid. That doesn't get mentioned anymore.
Yes, it's been a while. Okay, Indy cars from the streets of Toronto, Canada. Impressive three in a row for Ryan Hunter-Reay. Third victory in a row. Very impressive. He now leads the championship. The Florida driver races for Michael Andretti's team. And Michael won this race seven times in his Indy/Champ car career. Michael Andretti was an animal on street races in the rain. And he was magic on Milwaukee Mile. No question about it.
What happened at McLaren? The magic was left over at
the Concord Lounge.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, sad but true. Okay, another Amerikanski, this time from the left coast. Charlie Kimball was second for Ganassi team, and third was Brit Mike Conway of AJ4 team. And you know, this Mike Conway is an interesting situation. At one time, he looks at, and you know, as long as I followed F3, British F3, anytime anybody's doing good, I take a lot of interest in that guy, as was the case with Jungle Boy, and he was another kid. And he was looking very good and all set for a ride in Formula One, but after his success in British F3, he was unable to make a mark in 2 years of GP2 racing. So now he's here in the US, and we wish him well. Ryan Hunter-Reay, who is married to Robbie Gordon's sister, leads the championship with 335 points. The last time an American driver led this IndyCar championship was in 2006, when Sam I.M. Hornish took the title. Will Power is second on 301 points, and teammate Castro Nodash-Neves is third with 289 points. And there is some, you know, some teams are pissed off at Dallara that they apparently sold the car at a very low price because of pressure from IndyCars and all that. Now they're trying to make all the money on sale of parts, and as per the agreement, this is where a lot of people have problem with GP2. If you have a GP2 franchise, you have to buy a $7 parts that you can buy from other places, but you have to pay $70 because GP2 mandates you have to buy parts from Dallara. So let's see what happens. Indy Lights, this was the race I was watching when you entered the Palatial Studios. And since you are priority, I put out the lights on Indy Lights.
Thank you, sir.
Remember, well, their first sponsor, one of the first sponsors for IndyCar racing when they started was Northern Lights. And it happened just before the high-tech implosion meltdown. So those lights went out like the way they went out in Georgia.
Wow.
So sad.
So sad, but touching.
Yes. Okay, Indy Lights, not the best start for teammates and championship contenders. Esteban Guerrieri of Argentina and Francais Tristan Wautier, they had a little tap and both cars were injured, and this was all, not injured, but damage. This was on the opening lap, and both paid the price. The race was won by Gustavo Yacamán over fellow Colombiano Sebastian Saavedra. Pole sitter Victor Carbone was third. Esteban Guerrieri is championship leader with 316 points. Tristan Wautier second, 295, and Saavedra third with 284. And those, you know, we don't like to push the agenda, but we like to provide the information. If interested, please do a YouTube search under 2006 Formula BMW crash for an incident between Saavedra and Sergio Perez at the German street circuit Nürburgring. And let me know what you think. This was kind of a very bizarre thing that Saavedra did. And not the smartest or safest thing to do if you have an issue on the track. Star Mazda, double the pleasure for English driver from Bradford, Jack Hawksworth. He won both races from pole position and has now won 4 of the 8 races so far. He leads the championship by 39 points. You know, all these drivers who are, oh, I need a chance, I need an opportunity. I don't care where they come from or, you know, what their agenda is. Here is this guy. He finished 4th, I think it was, in British Formula Renault last year. 4th is not going to get you on the cover of Autosport magazine, as you know. He comes here, and now he has won half the races, and is just on fire. You know, maybe he's listening to Bruce Springsteen too much, but I think this kid has a very good future here in American racing. And this was something that Dan Weldon was very smart to do, you know. He missed the bus on the F1 circuit because of Button, came here, did Formula 4, and was very successful wherever he went. Moving on to a track which I consider the Brands Hatch of America without going up and down, and that's Lime Rock, and there is the Connecticut for you. American Le Mans Series was there. Winners were Lucas Lohr and Klaus Graf in their HPD ARX. If you decode it, it becomes a Honda machine. Chris Dyson and Guy Smith were second in their Lola Mazda. Now we come to NASCAR. This was very, very sad. A.J. Allmendinger, who is from this area and a very talented racing driver, now in deep kimchi with Captain Roger Penske after failing a truck test. Now, he went to the same school as you did.
My son went.
Oh, it was your son.
Correct.
Remember, this was brought up when
you
were doing
Lee High School and beautiful. Yeah. Downtown San Jose.
Good. This is very sad as he just got the ride with the most professional and successful racing organization in America, basically anywhere in the world. You know, it's like being hired by Ferrari if you join Penske Racing here. He is being replaced in the meantime by Sam Hornish, and they've asked him to do some sort of a B-sample test. And the authority on such issue, Jeremy Mayfield, he's already giving his fatwa that he will fail his B test also.
Well, apparently it's a stimulant, but that can be anything from caffeine to...
Viagra.
Exactly.
But at 30 years of age, I sure hope he's not paying for Viagra.
No comment.
Unless he got a packet from Mark Martin, but that's another story. Exactly. We don't want to get involved in personal issues. No. But now, seriously, what do you think about this news? Do you think he will survive this at Team Penske?
I don't know. You know, if he doesn't survive, we know Mr. Penske is a professional and will not put up with this kind of crap and move on and could take on Hornish Jr. full time.
Yeah, amazing. The NASCAR boys were racing past weekend at Daytona, round 18 of 36. The usual crash fest at the end was won by Tony Stewart, his third win of the season. Jeff Burton was second. Matt Kenseth was third. Kenseth from Wisconsin leads the championship with 676 points. Dale Jr. is second with 651. And talking of Dale Jr., I think he has sponsorship from National Guard, and they are Ministry of Defense or whoever, Army, you know, budget. They have said no more sports sponsorship, especially major sports.
So really?
Yeah, this was in the news today. So this guy, J.R. Hildebrand, he's with National Guard and IndyCar. So all of these, you know, at ease sponsorships are going.
Wow.
But I'm sure they'll find something else.
Hoorah!
Yeah, exactly.
Semper Fi.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you look at it, and I'm saying this in all seriousness, for Marines and the Army to advertise in NASCAR, actually, that is their clientele. There's no question about it.
That's true.
Anybody who goes to a NASCAR race, they love guns. They have, you know, nice...
This is a commentary?
No, this is factoir. This is not a commentary. Actually, that's what that guy also said once. I remember Dean or whatever his name was, that he wanted to get the NASCAR fan on his side, the one who has the NRA sticker on the back window, or something like that. Look, elections are coming.
Are we stereotyping NASCAR?
No, this is reality. It's based on Nielsen research.
Oh, okay. Very, very good. But to be honest with you, I mean, this country is so broke. I don't think our Defense Department should be really promoting motorsports.
Well, you know, they need a new war. It's, the war with the U.S. is like the Olympics.
No.
Every 4 years, they need to go somewhere. Yeah. So we should go back to motor racing.
I think so. It could get really...
Before you're in Dieppe and I'm in Karachi.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. So, okay, where are we now? Okay, yeah, we have to leave this. So we're going to go from American tin tops to Australian tin tops at Townsville. Jamie Wincup was the winner of the opening race, his fourth win of the season. Mark Winterbottom was second and Garth Tander third. Double the pleasure for Wincup as he beat teammate Craig Lowndes in a close finish in the second race. Jacques Villeneuve, yes, the former Formula One world champion from Canada, was 24th and a lap down. Wincup leads the championship with this. When I read this, I said, uh-oh, they are trading paint with NASCAR now on the points. Wincup leading with 1,794 points. Mark Winterbottom is second on 1,694 points. And third is Will Davidson with 1,654 points. And the next race is in August. So if you look at the points here compared to the points Kenseth has, for once, NASCAR has been left behind two laps in points accumulation by a series.
Well, at least they're not using fractions as well.
Didn't you have a Chinese abacus also at one time for that?
We used to have an abacus.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, now, shall we take a look at some facts and figures from the British Grand Prix last Sunday?
Absolutely.
Oh, dear. Okay, Webber's victory was second success for the Australian driver and fourth consecutive podium for him at Silverstone. And, of course, Silverstone will always be in the minds of Formula One fan, where he made that statement after winning. Not bad for a number two driver. That was beautiful. Okay. Bastian, surprisingly, this really kind of surprised me. First podium finish since winning the Bahrain Grand Prix.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah. From a guy who could not finish second last year, that this was his first since Bahrain. And Bahrain was quite a few moons ago.
It was.
Yeah. Grosjean, this is another surprise. only driver to start every race this season inside the top 10, which is top five rows.
Good consistency.
Yeah, very good. I mean, that's doing better than Kimi Raikkonen. That's impressive.
It is impressive.
Yeah. Button has not reached, and this was not a surprise because it says here, has not reached the Silverstone F1 podium in 13 starts. A lot of those starts were with Bar Honda, whatever they were called then. And, you know, he did miss out on that 1 year, the magical year they had, the Braun GP car. And none, though, we've already discussed. We have to talk about him again. First Ferrari pole since 2010 Singapore. Very, very impressive.
It's been a very impressive season, especially when we look back on how this season started with Am I jumping the gun?
No. Continue.
It's just stunning. I think Ferrari have really turned it around when you and I, looked at each other and said, boy, this is going to be a tough year for Ferrari with that dog of a car.
Yeah. You can jump in any time because you are the judge, jury, and the guillotine operator.
Absolutely.
At F1 Weekly.
Thank you, sir.
Sure. Lewis Hamilton may not have enjoyed the British Grand Prix, but on Monday he was all smiles while carrying the Olympic torch in Luton. And as we were discussing earlier, that he now wants to get into rap music, do some recording in LA. So, you know.
Now, I wish him well. What kind of ensemble was he wearing while he was carrying the Olympic torch?
No, I think you have to respect the Olympic tradition, and I don't think he was wearing something from, Little Richard or one of those funky type dresses.
Okay, just checking. I didn't see any photos of this event because I'm not too big on the Olympics.
Le Google, Hamilton, and you will see.
Exactly.
Red Bull raised more than £1 million by asking fans to donate money to their Wings for Life spinal cord charity in return for their pictures on the cars. I think they've done this before also. So interestingly, Sebastian Vettel's car carried a photo of his mate, Mark Webber, on the side of his cockpit. So Mark must have, put down some serious Australian dollars.
Well, not only that, but Nando was on the car too.
Nando?
Yes.
Wow. How much did he pay?
I don't know, but they were both staring at Vettel.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. A question for you. You know, where Pastor Maldonado should have been, his picture should have been on the steering wheel.
That was his biggest mistake.
He should have been on the steering wheel.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. Okay, and then Valtteri Bottas won the Run That Track competition for Make-A-Wish Foundation, which raised over £50,000, which is about $100,000. Bottas, Finnish, of course, won the Renault Cup over Ricciardo, then won the GP3 last year. He is managed by Aces Management, which includes Mr. Didier Courtois, who's also helping Lewis, and also includes Toto Wolff, who is the husband of Susie Wolff and one of the main investors in the new Grand Prix Williams team. I think this kid will have a seat next year. I have a feeling that Bruno Senna is on slippery slope.
You believe that?
I think so. They have to put this kid somewhere.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Bruno is not performing. If you're not even performing compared to a guy who's crashing in 70% of the races, then you know you got a problem.
That's true. And Valtteri Bottas, in the end, he's a really nice guy.
He's a very nice kid. I've met him a few times. I've met his dad also. But he's a fabulous race car driver, let me tell you that. And this is based on performance, not on him being a nice guy. Okay, more action at Silverstone. Three teams will be at the track later this week for young driver tests, and by the time we are putting this on, this thing has already probably happened. They are Marussia, Williams, and HRT. Young English driver Max Chilton, who is racing in GP2, and racer from Java, Indonesia, Rio Haryanto, who is also in GP2, they will test with Marussia. And, of course, Williams will have Valtteri Bottas. And HRT, this is very important, HRT will continue the fine tradition of bringing great racing talents to the track. This time the hero will be Ma Qinghua of China. Isn't that amazing?
It's historical, but for the Chinese, it gives them a little hope.
No, at the top level of, it's like, World Cup football. If let's say Brazil is playing Italy, you don't want to bring in some guy from Mongolia for 5 minutes just because he wants to make a history. I mean, if you're good enough.
If Ronaldo says it's okay, it's okay.
Who says okay?
Ronaldo.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, if you're good, you will make it. I mean, we had Montoya from Colombia, Pastor from Venezuela, you know, Chico Serra from Brazil. So you could be anybody from anywhere, but if you perform, you will be at the top. So, do you remember Chico Serra?
Yeah.
He was from Brazil. He did not win any races. I just threw in the name.
I understand, and it was very, very nicely done.
Thank you. He was at the reason I brought his name, he was at the 1982 Italian Grand Prix, which was the first Grand Prix moi attended. So I just want to remember
all those
people.
There's always some kind of link.
Yeah. I'm linked in and linked out. Okay, looking ahead to this non-F1 weekend, we have Masters of Formula 3 at Zandvoort. That will be Holland. German F3 at Spa-Francorchamps. Formula 2 at Brands Hatch. And World Series by Renault at the newly opened Moscow Raceway. Alexander Rossi will be there. And this track is very nice. And they are already talking about the Russian Grand Prix may not happen at Sochi and may be shifted here. Apparently it is very nice. Designed by you-know-who?
President Putin.
No. Even more powerful, Herman Tilke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Finally, this is beautiful. We listen to Lotus reserve driver Jerome D'Ambrosio as he helps open the 2012 Grand Prix ball in London. Please enjoy.
Thanks, NAS, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up with our usual after a race, and that's 50 words from some of our forum members, Nasser. And I shall start, and you will help me out.
Help me make it through the night.
Thank you, sir. So let's go to it. Lap Traffic says, a surprisingly dry race, some great duels, and great passing. Alonso controls most of the race, but can't hold back a charging Webber. Massa has a shockingly good result and holds off Kimi for fourth. Maldonado plays bumper cars once again, while Kobayashi goes bowling with his pit crew.
A change this week. Alonso thought he had it won, but then the Red Bulls found that something gave them wings, while McLaren are rather finding the reverse. What happened to the rain that we were promised as Sehisan?
Dr. Mark F. Thankfully, it was dry today and my trench foot is much improved. It was fascinating to watch the team's strategies unfold and, in some cases, unravel. As one battle resolved, another started throughout the race. The Brits were, to put it politely, rubbish, but we cheered ourselves hoarse as Mach disposed of Rat Fink and perhaps began his championship charge.
Koala, Webber drives a great race on a great Silverstone circuit. Very true.
Leon Bray, not bad for a number two driver. Wonder if Ferrari will let him do that next year.
Neon Zapper, Silverstone didn't disappoint. The sliding aerial camera was perfectly placed to view exciting passing action, which was nearly as good as some of the pit area blunders. Number two has a new meaning for Webber. Maldonado is the new Lewis, and let's all take a look at Felipe go. I've never seen Maldonado get so much press in my life.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Yay says, Nando continues to impress, and it will be a shock if he doesn't take this year's title and establish himself as one of the greats, if not the greatest of all time. Mark's drive today was one of the most intelligent I've ever seen. So Ye is quite impressed with Fernando, el hombre muy macho de España.
Well, very good.
It was very good. Thanks, gentlemen, from the forum. We love the forum. It's always a lot of laughs and giggles. But there you have it, an outstanding race. No race this weekend, Nasser, so this is a hot dog weekend for us.
Yes, sir, and just a couple of things I'm trying to do. I've exchanged a few emails with Mr. Peter Windsor, the Peter Windsor of...
our favorite team.
Grid Walk fame.
Ken Anderson.
Ken Anderson, USF1, and he has very kindly agreed to be able to do an interview. So I'm just waiting for him to send me the green signal, so we'll do a nice interview with him, hopefully. And I'm also talking to Esteban Gutierrez's PR guy. I stay in touch with him on a regular basis. So we want to bring some exciting value to our listeners.
Well, there's...
Don't go away.
There's one thing I think you need to start working on.
Which is?
An interview with Pastor Maldonado.
We haven't interviewed him in the past.
I know, but we need something up and new and fresh.
Well, you know, if all goes well, Moa will be at Monza. And we'll see if we can hook up with him there.
There you go. Nass, keep up the good work. Thanks for another outstanding program. I want to thank all the listeners quickly. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email me or Nasser at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who's listening. Good night.
Bye.